yesterday with David Price, third straight start. He's been awesome. What are you seeing so far in recent weeks compared to how he started the season?
You know what? I see a twofold. First of all, I see a pitcher that has a ton of confidence right now, a ton of confidence. And he's pitching. You know, I see him mixing his pitches well. You start to see there's a rhyme or reason to every pitch that he throws. You know, there were times last year, and we've seen David Price very, very good at times,
right,
just overpowering a lineup. And, you know, obviously he's still capable of doing that, but now it seems as if he comes into a game, you know, and makes sure that he wants to establish a fastball to both sides of the plate. You know, he's using the curveball. I think even there was one start this year, early this year, where I don't know if he threw a curveball. You know, we saw it the first start, maybe. It was either from the first to the second or second to the third. But we saw the curveball, and then all of a sudden, you know, the fifth inning of the next game, I looked at Dwayne, I said, where's the curveball? I was pretty good last start.
Right.
Usually a guy has, you know, he just doesn't junk a pitch for a start.
Right.
Well, you know, you see the curveball being mixed in, the changeup, and I think, for me, and it's funny because he's actually going to be on the broadcast tonight, so I'm going to totally hit him up on this. But I think when Joe Maddon left him in to finish that shutout was huge, because we see Joe, he'll give you the shot for the shutout. Sometimes if you give up a base runner, you're out.
Right.
You know, and that's it. I mean, that's you know you got to go out there and go perfect. Well, that start, Price gave up a hit, got the next two guys out, and then gave up another hit.
Right.
And I think we were all waiting, Joe's coming.
Yeah.
And that was, in fact, it was funny because I got a running joke with Joe. I yell at him every time he pulls a pitcher like that. And he said, you know, it's funny because he was like, I was thinking about you when that happened. He's like, if I was going to walk up there, I was going to look up at you, because I first thing I did was give it one of these, look over the edge, and he didn't move.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, this is huge for David. Huge for it, not only him, but for the staff in general. And he gets the next guy, Trumbo, to fly out on the first pitch. Mm-hmm. And he gets the shutout, and he has been a different pitcher since then. He's been a different pitcher. And his changeup, he finally has confidence in it, and he's throwing it. Where last year, sometimes he would kind of baby it, and it was like he was thinking changeup. Now, I mean, I don't know what he's thinking, but it looks to me like he's thinking four-seam fastball, and he's letting it rip. And, you know, you're just seeing a guy with plus stuff that is pitching, and that's why he's been so dominant.
Well, speaking of the confidence, bullpen obviously got up to a really shaky start,
yeah,
and now they look like the bullpen of all. What do you see in there?
Same thing. I think that you know, Rodney's been lights out from Jump Street. You know, Peralta, I think that, you know, first year he didn't pitch in winter ball. I think that that was something that played in his mind, because I talked to him early in the year, and he's like, man, I don't play winter ball, and, you know, that's not one of my things. He's like, but I'll get it going. You know, he was, you know, going that way. Jake McGee had a big moment with the strikeout of Morneau,
right,
here, and he's kind of taken off since then. The other night was the best I've seen him.
JP, especially on 29 pitches.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean. And you never get to see him that extended, usually.
Right.
But he was hitting his spots, a lot of velocity, same thing, carrying himself with an air of confidence. Badenhop's got the sinker going again, you know, more consistent with it than he was early. JP looks fully recovered, and he's got, you know, in fact, I talked to him yesterday, and I said, you know, I said, for me, because I was around him when he came up, made his major league debut,
right,
I said, your velocity is what it is. You know, it's going to be, 85, 86 all the time, you know. But I see the finish on your pitches again.
Right.
I see that little tail on the fastball, the changeup, the curveball. And he said, that's it with me. He said, finish is everything. And so, you know, he looks to be back. Gosh, who else you got? JP, Howe, Rodney.
Davis.
Oh, and Davis has been good pretty much all year. He's really taken to that that role pretty well, and I think what's helped him is he accepted the role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of guys don't accept the role. They still feel like, I should have been a starter. That's what I do.
Right.
And they go down and pout, and then they struggle out of the pen. I think Wade said, you know what? That's fine. Jeff Niemann won the spot. I'm going to go down here and make myself a more valuable pitcher by becoming very versatile.
Right.
And it looks like he's taken to that role. You know, I know he wants to start. I know that's where he'd prefer.
Yeah.
However, you don't see it in his pitching, and he's been pretty solid all year.
Agreed. Now, with the obviously seven straight years, seven different relievers have led this team in saves. So far, it looks like we're about to go 8-for-8.
Yeah.
Having, you know, covered Rodney as an opponent, now seeing him pitch for the Rays, what are you seeing differently?
I mean, who is this guy? You, I mean, before it was, you know, always had a great arm,
right.
But command. You know what I mean? You know, the command, you know, was always an issue. You just and you know, you never knew what you were going to get. You know, he was kind of like Valverde.
Yeah.
You know, Valverde had a perfect year.
Right.
But you never felt.
Yeah.
You know, you always felt like there's going to be some base runners. He can have a tendency to get a little out there.
Yep.
But boy, oh boy, what I've seen out of Rodney this year is just a joke. First of all, he hasn't even thrown a slider. I mean, a handful of times he's gone to that pitch. It's been fastball changeup, and he's been great with his command of it. And the difference, huge. You know, there are times where he will get a difference of 17 miles an hour from one pitch to the next, and they look exactly the same.
Right.
And one's plus or minus 17. That's absurd.
Yeah.
That's absurd. I mean, you want to get in that 8, 10, 12 if you're really proficient at throwing
right.
that changeup and taking something off it. But 15 to 17? Stupid.
Now, some of the talk, there's been some talk about him, how he's been shifted on the rubber over to the first base side. Neiman's been shifted over to the third base side. As a pitcher, how does that help you moving your, how you've normally set up on the rubber to decide, I'm going to move somewhere else?
What, you know what, they usually do it to set up, make your pitches more effective. You know what I mean? And so, you know, you move guys over. Fernando's getting tons of run with his fastball. You know, they're going to pinch hit a lot of lefties against him. So if he moves over to the first base side of the rubber, then it's easier for him to get the ball in on lefties because he's closer. And then, you know, the righties, you know, he's close to that outside corner, although that sometimes can be a tough pitch because you're right down on top. You
right.
know, yeah, but you can, you know, fade it back in there. And then also he throws that two-seamer and the changeup away to lefties, and you're going to get that really good run. So it makes sense with his stuff. Neiman, you know, and you see what he's done against right-handed hitters this year.
Yes.
I mean, going into his last start, they were 4-for-41. He's right on top of you, and
right.
he's over on this side. So he's literally coming right on you. You know
he's
what I mean?
More ground balls than
yeah.
he ever has.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, you just play to your stuff. Now, I will say this. Making that move, because I've done it before, is not easy. It's amazing how if you move 4 or 5 inches mm-hmm. on the rubber, you have a completely different view of home plate. You're like, oh, my gosh. You feel like you got to relearn your mechanics.
Right.
It's very strange. So that's obviously something that they are going to, you know, work on in spring training and make that transition then. But, you know, they do it because they feel like, hey, these are your core pitches, and they'd probably be better served moving this way as opposed to being here where they can see it, you know.
Right.
So.
Speaking of core pitches, there's a couple of things that some, you know, Matt Garge is obviously kicking some major butt in Chicago. You look at how he's pitching, he's gone back to the slider.
Yeah.
Something that he's thrown a lot. Now, it seems like when pitchers come here, the slider kind of goes away for some reason. David Price had it. Vanderbilt doesn't throw it here. Garza wasn't throwing it here. He throws it twice as much. Do you think that's something by design that the team does, is more of like, hey, let's have curveballs rather than sliders, or is it just coincidental?
I think it's coincidental. I've never been a part in the couple of years I was down there with Jim Hickey. I was never privy to any let's junk the slider in favor, you know, of the curveball. And the only piece of evidence that I would use to say that they don't tell you what pitches to throw here is the fact that you know, the first couple starts of the year they let, you know, Hellickson throw as many cutters as he did.
Right.
If they're going to let him throw that, then I'm sure they're okay with the slider. Because I would have said, you know, for me, looking at Jeremy and the numbers that he put up last year and the fact that he never really struggled, you know what I mean? And in this game, hitters as a group will let you know when you need to make a major adjustment.
Right.
And, you know, coming into this year, him adding a cutter in and of itself is not a major adjustment. Him adding a cutter and throwing it just one tick under what he throws his fastball and
right.
throwing it more than his changeup and more than his curveball, that's a complete overhaul of what you do.
Right.
And sitting up in the booth, and I know it was just a handful of games, that was unnecessary.
Right.
He's good enough with what he's got. If you want to use that every now and then, you know, to surprise a righty and to try to jam a lefty when you're down 2-0 in the count, that's fine. When you're throwing it over 20% of the time, that's not fine.
I remember your comments during the game.
Yeah, yeah. That, I mean, that's just, and you know what's funny? He's completely pulled the reins back on that.
That actually leads into my last question, is when you're introducing a new pitch like that with him with a cutter, Jim Mickey's actually mentioned him more of a two-seam fastball.
Yeah.
What does it take mentally to say, okay, I'm going to work on this pitch? Because obviously you only get a little bit of time in
camp. Right.
Now, how are you going to do that in season and have the, you know, the stomach to stick with it when guys are pounding?
You tell me. That's exactly right. Now, listen, Dwayne and I have had this conversation, and the way that I liken it, how I try to, you know, put it out there so people can visualize it, is for however many number of years that Jeremy's been pitching with the fastball, you know, curveball changeup, he has been piecing together, let's say that he gets 100 pitches. He's been piecing together a 100-piece puzzle for years,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a good feel. These are my three pieces, and I got to build this puzzle every fifth day.
Right.
And I'm piecing it together, and I make a nice puzzle. And I do this for years, and I've got my patterns. I know what I like to do. I know what I like to go to. I know what I'm comfortable with. I know that I build a pretty nice puzzle. Well, now I got a fourth piece. Where do I put it? How do I put it?
Right.
When do I put it? No, I mean, you have no idea. You're playing with something that, yeah, that's nice to have, but how do you use it? I mean, because, okay, this is a situation that I'd go to the curveball. Should I go to the curve? I can throw the cutter, but is the cutter right here? I mean, you know, that's what's difficult. And I think early on, he had this new toy and just went crazy with it.
You know, like the other day when he gave up the home run, I forgot who he gave up to. He was
Olivo.
Like, screw it, I'm done with it.
No.
Yeah.
He did. That was a cement mixer. Like, his last two runs he's given up were hanging cutters.
Yeah.
And Wells gets him, and then Olivo got him. And I don't know if he said it to himself or somebody got a hold of him in the dugout, but he took that pitch and put it right in his pocket and did not. I didn't remember seeing one again.
I'm curious to see how he works it tonight.
Exactly. Oh. And you know what? Like I said, in moderation, everything in moderation is fine. If you want to add that pitch, you know, it's good for you. But when it then trumps your changeup and your curveball, for me now, and for you hopefully, you should have a problem with that. It shouldn't jump up above changeup curveball. It's your fourth pitch.
Yeah.
Let's keep it down fourth, and everybody's good. Don't make it your second. You know, and I think that's what he's learning, and that's part of the process of being young, getting a new toy, and trying to figure out when and how to use it. Because you know what, fastball, curveball, changeup. Jeremy Hellickson was pretty good with those pitches last
right.
year. I would say, I don't know, to the tune of a .210 batting average against behind Verlander in the American League.
You think
and
it's
an ERA under .300 in the AL East.
You think it's more for the issue against lefties that he has, where he has a little more susceptible to lefties? Because he really put that changeup in his back pocket. It's more fastball, curveball.
Except he's throwing it a lot to righties, and they're the ones that have hurt him on it. that's the thing. I get it. You know, I mean, he said, listen, I gave a batting average of .190 or whatever it was against righties and .230, .220, .230 against lefties.
Right.
I want something for lefties when I fall behind that I don't feel like I got to throw a four-seam. I mean, I can cut it in on them and get some cheap outs that way.
Right.
Fine. Except I see you throwing it a ton to righties.
Yeah.
And I've seen it hurt off it with righties. So.
Peters, I mean, see if he can go back, like how Price was doing it last night, backdooring it to the left, backdooring it to the righties,
thinking
backdoor it to the left.
Oh, and then front door.
Like that.
And then front door. That's like, you know, as you get further advanced, and, you know, and David Price facing a left-handed hitter, you know, can run a four-seamer in off the plate in an 0-2, 1-2 count, back the guy up,
right.
and then throw a cutter right there. Just like he does backdoor, but throw it the same side of the plate,
right.
throw it right in the same plane, and that hitter goes, oh, man, it's in there again. He gives you one of these, and it goes, phew. And it's just, you get to the point with the cutter, back door or front door, and he gets a lot of swings on the back door because he doesn't really set it up in a traditional sense.
Right.
But his stuff's so good that he can do that and get the swings. But you'll get, you know, he will, and guys get to the point where they know a back door cutter here or a front door cutter here. And if I execute the pitch, I'm not even worried about him swinging. I know he's not going to.
Right.
If I execute the pitch, I'm going to get a called third strike looking.
Right.
You know, or called third strike. I mean, because, you know, you get a guy, you get ahead of him real quick, 0-2. Take you and run a four-seamer about 6 inches off the plate away and give the guy a nice look at him, a ball on purpose. Throw it thigh high, 6 inches off, just fire it out there, let him get a nice look at it, and then throw that backdoor cutter.
Yeah.
And he goes up, same pitch, and he quits.
Right.
And you can't get it restarted once you quit. And that ball goes, and he walks back to the dugout. And you know it, too. That's the thing. You know, just execute it, and I know he's not going to swing. It's weird to know. On two strikes, that guy will not swing. And that's how you know you got him set up.
Or so with the way he likes to do weak contact and get the infield pop up, yeah. It really fits well into the plan.
And, you know, I mean, shoot, he's been a lot of fun to watch because he's becoming a pitcher, not just a thrower.
Belies his age.
Yeah.